Tune in to this week's Xamarin Show, where we're showing off the brand new, beautiful MSN News app. Matt and Solomon are here from the MSN News team. It's built in Xamarin. It's beautiful and highly performant. Check it out, because it's in beta today, so tune in. Welcome back, everyone, to The Xamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno, and today I'm ridiculously excited. You know I'm always ridiculously excited. But this time I have two guests, the first time ever on The Xamarin Show, both Matt and Solomon from the MSN News team up in Vancouver. They made the drive down to show us off these new hot apps that are in beta today, and people can get their hands on them, and to tell their journey of how they were taking multiple code bases and brought over to Xamarin. So thank you guys for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm super excited to see the applications, because I got to see them really, really early on, and got to see some of the, you know, the early on development from them, and I've been dog-fooding them over here. But before we get into the apps and show off the new hotness and kind of the architecture behind it, maybe Matt and Solomon, you can tell a little bit about yourselves.
So my name's Matt Purcell. I've been Microsoft for about 6 years now. Started actually building Xbox apps right when the Xbox One came out, a bunch of video apps. And then from there, kind of transitioned to the MSN team and on the app side, and kind of been working on it since then.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm Solomon Zubliri. I've been working on MSN apps for 3.5 years. I work on Windows 8 apps, Windows 10 apps, and lately we're working on Xamarin to mobile apps, and my focus is on the iOS platform.
Very cool. Yeah, and I'm really excited because I get a lot of developers ask me time and time again, like, hey, what apps are built with Xamarin, but more specifically, what apps at Microsoft, you know, is Microsoft using Xamarin as a platform? And I can always list out a whole bunch of apps like the Pix and the Seeing AI, but I think what's really cool about the MSN News app is it's very image and visual rich. It uses a lot of the platform customization. So I'm really excited to see what you guys have and show it off. But maybe can you talk a little bit about the history of the MSN kind of apps and where they've been?
Yeah, I think Suleiman's probably
The MSN apps have been since Windows 8. They're showcasing the technology to build apps. In the beginning, we use WinJS in Windows 8, and then we moved to Windows 8.1. On Windows 10, we were showcasing UWP apps. We were first party on the first, which means like pre-installed on Windows, on the first version of Windows 10. And now we have mobile applications, but we are trying to use Xamarin to have one code base that we can use.
Gotcha. So it seems like you had transitioned a few languages. And were there existing Android and iOS apps or no?
Yeah, so we have both a Objective-C and a Java app. And that was part of the reason this came about was we want to get better apps on these platforms. But it's really hard to maintain this many languages and code bases. Like, we have 28 different apps.
Oh, my goodness.
And that we have to maintain. And there's no way for our team to innovate or you know, make it better with that many. So this was one of the major pushing for to go with Xamarin.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's always really hard, I feel, to not only just ship new features, but then you're still trying to get in deep with the operating system when Apple changes or Android changes or even Windows 10, right? We're always adding new features. So it's really cool. And then, like, how did that migration go? Like, were you able to use a lot of the Windows 10 code or?
So in the beginning, we decided, so we have four apps. We decided to focus on the news app as a first goal. And so we were able to convert a lot of the Windows code or UWP app code into portable PCLs at the time. And then we will be able to use this on the Android and iOS. And we just pretty much just made the UI of those apps.
Nice. All right, so before we talk about the UI, talk about it, I know that some of the goals were really creating rich onboarding and actual really rich, you know, visually applications, because like this is used by millions upon millions of people, so it should be super high qual. So maybe we could just switch over to the desktop here, and we have our iOS and Android phones on there. And go ahead and walk us through it, Solomon.
Okay, so we have the iOS app here running. This is our first run experience, like onboarding the user into the app. So he will see like just three screens. He can choose to receive notifications for breaking news. He can choose whatever interest. We have a list of pre-selected ones for each market, depending which language you have.
So these are all of the interests and categories, essentially.
Yep. Yes.
And I see there's a lot of grids and images and overlays going on here.
Yep.
Very nice.
And these are, if you use Edge and you use the new tab page, you're going to see something similar to this.
Oh, cool.
They're all powered by MSN. And then after you choose your categories, you go to your home page. You have your breaking news. You have your like cards with the histories you have. Mm-hmm. You can always like choose more interests. You can search. We also have Bing search. You can pretty much bring like search any term you want.
Some Xamarin in there.
Yeah,
sure.
Oh, and it's actually pre-filling as you go, which
is
very cool.
And those are like articles like powered by Bing.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Very cool.
In certain markets, we have local news on here as well.
Yeah, so you can always go local news. Like, since we are in Redmond, you're going to detect where you're
having it. So you're using local geolocation. Again, a lot of people think that, oh, my mobile apps are just a pretty UI, but you're already tying into the user's preferences, the geolocation of the device. That's really cool.
Yeah, we support like 50 markets, which like languages and countries. All curated from like the best sources of news you can have.
Very cool.
And this is where the Xamarin came in and helped us. We had all this. It was all available on our Windows 10 app. And you know, rewriting it twice to kind of refresh our apps wouldn't have happened.
Got it.
So I can show you here like on our Android app, pretty much the same.
Some pretty animations I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that. Gotcha. So you have a pretty similar experience, but overall, even on the same page, you see the same news, but as an Android user, I'm seeing, you know, bottom tabs combined with those top tabs, which are Android tabs, you know, and was the motivation for Xamarin and that you wanted the native UI on each?
Absolutely. It was 100% from the start. You know, no one ever mentioned, hey, let's make the same app everywhere. It was, it's got to look Android, it's got to look iOS, because, you know, I'm a fanboy of Android, so I didn't want an iOS app on my Android phone.
Yeah.
And you know, most people don't. So everything we could that was native, and it's honestly most of it, we just used. And
Even some little details like, what is the share button from iOS? What is the share button from Android? Like, we want the user to really feel they are using Android app, even though they are on the same brand.
And we've been getting great feedback on that. We had one icon that was the opposite, just we accidentally reused it. And somebody came back, that's not the icon for this. And we're really appreciative of them to point that out to us.
So this is a lot of information. I mean, can you flip through some of these tabs on here too? Because I know there's My News, which is hand curated, but there's all sorts of stuff going on here.
Yeah, so basically like each tab is related to the interest that you chose.
Okay.
And you can order them. And then the My News is an aggregation of all of those.
Okay.
And it never ends. Like, you can just scroll forever, and you're just going to get more news and more news and more news.
And what I'm seeing here, and we're screen mirroring these, so there might even be a little bit of lag. One's over Wi-Fi, but even still, you can see how buttery smooth this is. And you guys are fading in images. I mean, it seems like a lot of data coming in.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you guys find a struggle with that? I mean, in terms of how do you keep that native performance?
I wouldn't say a struggle, but it was something that we focused on. From the very beginning, this was something we had to have. We had to hit these benchmarks that we were looking for. And it just, we profiled it. We have some of our own tools that we used. And if we started to see it fade a little bit of performance as we were developing, then we went straight back and fixed it.
Got it.
And like you say, image loading was probably
images are the
worst. We spent a lot of time iterating on getting it to work correctly, and that's where we came up with some of this fading and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it looks like you're able to take advantage of like the new bottom tabs on Android, which is pretty nifty. And this is a good use case for it, because normally when developers come to Android, they're like, I only have tabs, and there's, you know, other tabs on iOS. But is this a custom thing that you guys have on iOS, or how did this all work out?
So for this, we have a lot of custom UI.
Yeah.
This is pretty much like a pager and then just a collection on the header, like, but so you can like switch.
Oh, that's cool. Beautiful.
You can go to the one that you want. We are virtualizing, so we don't use a lot of memory. Yeah. So you can always have like two neighbors on each one. So probably the same thing on Android.
Yep.
Nice. And it kind of fades in as you go. Yeah. And one thing that I really loved is some of those native things. So even the refresh I thought was really cool. So I don't know if you guys can demo that off. Because when we talk native, like, it's just sometimes the little details which feel nice.
So yeah, so on Android we try to use like always like native controls or look exactly like an Android app. On iOS, same thing, put refresh. We kind of try to do like some cool animation, so if the user feels the news have been refreshed and then new.
They kind of have a weight to it almost too. You know, it's like you're dragging down on it, which is nice.
We love that feature. We all said, oh, whoa, when he showed us that. So it stayed in so far.
And then also at the same time, so there's a lot going in the application, but can you talk about other like parts of the app that are maybe maybe not transparent, that live outside the app on the phone?
Yeah, so DevOps and things like that.
Well, I mean, like features, you know,
features. Yeah, show the today widget. And.
Oh, yeah, so we want to take use like a platform feature. So for the Android, we made a widget. For the iOS, we did a today extension. You can show the top articles here, keep it refreshing. You can just click, go to the article that interests you. So.
And stuff like that, and notifications as well is something that's, for news, it's so important to us. If we're not getting people to use our app to come back in and reread read the stories they want to, then we're not going to get the users that we want, right? There's a good story out there. We want to show them that it's available, and we want to have them read it. So.
Got it. So you tap on it, immediately right back into the application, deep LinkedIn. That's really cool. I mean, it makes a lot of sense to me as far as, and really cool animations. Who doesn't love animations, right? I love it. Yeah.
This part's really cool as well. So there's a lot of discussion about how we do certain things, and this one we went actually built a native article reader as well.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. So it's not just a web view.
No.
All native controls, like they load really fast. It's all based on HTML from when we get from the server side, but we have a converter that converts not only on these two, but also on UWP to native controls.
Oh wow!
And we have this feature where you're like we call it continuous reading, so it's always loading a new article. So this won't work because I came from a
single thing. Article, yeah.
Yeah, but like if I'm in a collection of articles, it's just gonna go and go and go and it's gonna go show the next and you keep going.
Oh wow!
As long as you are interested and you like news, you can just read forever.
and again, the cool part with some of this stuff is, you know, we had it on UWP, the article reader and then this continuous reading, and a lot of that logic, even though it's kind of UI based, we shared. We were able to refactor it and say, a lot of these principles are actually common code, and we can just bring it over and then just worry about rendering it when we get here.
Makes sense.
And so we were kind of surprised, you know, good surprised about things that were very UI based. Also, sometimes we could share. So,
got it.
It's really nice.
Can you talk about the journey from being a UWP developer and making this app first on UWP and then bring it over to iOS? Like, what were your decisions as far as like the user interface and code sharing?
A lot of it was, we got to look at the UWP app again, which is always good. You know, as we've just been working on it for a long time, it's good to take a step back and have another different target and say, well, we got to build two more apps on this. What can we pull out? What was actually maybe too tied to UWP that didn't need to be? Like, it's really, most of it's common, and then there's one part that is kind of tied to the platform. So we looked at almost everything. We pulled those parts out, and then we kind of, some things came right over as soon as we did that, and they were up on the, you know, the same day on the mobile.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And how about the UI layer? Now, we talked a little bit early on about using just, you know, traditional native UIs, and there's a lot of custom work and fast boot up time versus using some shared UI with Xamarin Forms. Like, did you guys go back and forth on those, or what was some strategy there?
There's a lot of, like, tons of discussion about all of that, and I think when we started to look at it, one of the tenets was very native. Like, we just said we wanted this to be fully Android, which I know Xamarin Forms does, but that was, like, priority number one kind of thing. So we said, well, let's get there, and then if we find stuff that we can share, like with Embedded Nader now or whatever, right, if we can share that, then that's perfect. If we have a settings page that we can just do once, then awesome. We'll take that any day of the week.
But
a lot of it was just, you know, let's get the native feel, and then we can go back and we can change anything we want afterwards. Once we have an app, then.
And we use the MVVM pattern, and on UWP, the view model is already there, written, so all the logic is there. We pretty much just have to create a UI.
Just
had to convert some of those codes that were really attached to UWP framework, like using Windows namespace, and then making sure that they are cross-plat, and then we would basically make the UI. If you look at this, like, a lot of the UI is just repetitive, like the cards and like the article reader, so it's not a lot of different UIs, so we don't have a lot of native controls. But when we do, then we make sure to make them like performant, and we working like hard on them.
Yeah, that makes sense. I always think of when you need to get, especially such image heavy application, where you need to get down and finally tweak and tune and do things that live outside of that, you know, Xamarin Forms box of controls. You're like, all right, well, for this application, maybe this page or this page with native forms and embedding some Xamarin Forms pages makes sense. But for the higher arc where people are spending 80% of the time, millions upon millions of users, to really get that deep link, that deep integration, it makes complete sense to me. And that's, you know, the route there definitely I would take.
And so we actually did a prototype on Forms. So that was the start of it. It was a hackathon, actually, a while back. And we said, we think this could happen. And at the time, it wasn't really on the roadmap, and we kind of went and said, look, we built this in 2 days. So let's, what more could we do with actual time to do it? So
nice.
It definitely was one of the selling points to getting us to where we are today.
I love that too, that story of that rapid prototyping, because that's how I almost start every application now. Is I just file new forms, like, here's my view models, here's a bunch of my models, and all that code, even if I switch later on to not use Xamarin Forms, it's still code. It's still like all the same. You know, just, you different button is a different button on the screen.
Yeah.
So how was your guys' work? I know we have a Surface Book here and a MacBook. You know, you said your Android and iOS. How was that team collaboration? Like, what was the background there?
Well, so it worked pretty well. So we were lucky. We all got MacBooks, which for the iOS, I mean, we did some of the sharing, and some people, I think you still build cross-platform, but I found just using the Mac was nice. It's just the way I work. You know, I'd pull it out and do it, or I'd use my desktop for Android. And so that helped us just everybody work on everything. I kind of gravitated towards Android as because I wanted to.
And it's my favorite platform.
He went the other way, so that kind of helped too. We had, you know, we're both able to focus and be the eyes on it a little bit. And so
I pretty much use, like, I use the Mac a lot of times, but at work I use the Windows to build Visual Studio and then just connect the Mac to build. It works fine. It works really good. Like, it's fast and I love Visual Studio, so.
But it's nice that, you know, you can use the same tools essentially everywhere,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And about halfway through is when VS for Mac came out, so that was kind of nice. Like, we got some advantage there, and it was just kind of.
And it's really nice that you can, like, you're building on iOS and then you just click a combo box, switch to Android, run. Okay, I see exactly the same thing on Android.
Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. Now, what about we talk a lot about DevOps and analytics. Like, what does that look? Because you are maintaining a lot of apps. You still have the UWP app, which we haven't even shown, but you have all the other apps. Like, what does that look like in the real world of the MSN team?
So we are super lucky right now. Microsoft's doing a lot of stuff that's helping us out. You know, VSTS came out, and that's been great for us. We build all of our stuff on there.
Cool.
App Center Test, formerly Xamarin Test Cloud, we got running like in an afternoon, and we've used it multiple times a day since. All our code goes through UI test.
Nice.
So that's been just amazing. We've caught tons of stuff during development even. So we were changing everything, you know, the stuff was getting iterated on, and we were still testing, and it was catching stuff, so.
Very cool.
We have recurring builds building like daily or maybe twice or three times a day, depending on how feature-wise we're doing. And then we see the reports right away. The test failed, something went wrong. We can go and just fix it right away.
We all of our check-ins build everything. So our UWP, if we had broken something, now that we're coming back and combining everything, it will know. So that's super important to us because our UWP app is our bread and butter still. So we can't break that, but we made the decision to work out of the same code whole time. So that was, we needed tests and unit tests and everything running. And so that builds every time we do a PR. And it's great.
And performance-wise, we were able to tie our performance metrics to a Xamarin UI test on the test cloud. So we run the test, we have a report, we know exactly if we regress performance in between a build and the next one.
Oh, based on like the run times and things like that? Very cool.
So we have markers all the way through our code for everything that is, and specifically parts that we're worried about. So we obviously start up, but also just a certain web call that can be expensive or take a long time, then we want to know how expensive and is it getting worse or so we have that markers all the way through our code.
And because we were like a first party on the UWP, we always focus, like, we had like some performance metrics with KPIs we have to follow, like launch time, memory use, size of the application. And for this project, we also like constantly every week we had a meeting looking at those numbers, seeing if we're going there, like following up with every new feature that we add, if it didn't regress anything. So
that's really cool. And then I mean, it's always mind-boggling, like when you get into real production, right, all those little tweaks and, someone accidentally added, you know, half a second to startup time. You're like, well, that doesn't seem too bad, but then it could be. You keep adding half a second. Are there any cool libraries that you want to shout out to that kind of helped in the development of this at all?
I mean, the easiest one for us probably for Android was Glide. I mean, we went from spending so much time, and I know there's other ones out there as well, but we were like trying to do some of the same stuff ourselves and got to a point where we said, all right, this library is available. Xamarin helped us out and got it bound for us, which was awesome. And as soon as we had it, it just like all the problems went away. So that was, you know, a major performance problem. And like our whole app is basically images. So
images are really important. So people don't know what Glide is. It's an awesome open source image downloading, caching, fading, does everything all in one. Yeah. So
that was a big one. And otherwise, you know, kind of the standard Xamarin ones. Like, I know we use some of yours actually.
Cool, some plugins.
All the connectivity ones
settings.
And settings and all that.
Nice.
So, which was kind of the nice part, right? When you get NuGet support, like when you suddenly all of these things become available. Like, if we'd gone native, then we'd have different libraries on each platform. You just have to go find the same type of functionality, but in two places. So this way, we just go get one NuGet, works everywhere, and we know how to use it.
That makes sense. Yeah. Well, how about the overall code sharing? Did you guys have some cool stats? Since even though it's separate UI, were you guys able to share a lot of code?
Yeah. So for between, because the thing is, because the UWP was already done, and we were like working on this project full time, we didn't want to change a lot of the UWP code.
Sure.
So we just changed everything that was non-UI related. So between the three, we share about 35% of code. But between just Android and iOS, we share about 55%.
Oh, beautiful.
And what we're doing now after we release this project is we're going to merge all those view models from UWP back to the one that we have here. So we have more conversion of code, and they share more and more between this and the UWP. And also, the UWP will get features that we only add on this case.
Oh,
so
cool.
Basically, like, we are upgrading the UWP based on the features that we build for this too.
Makes sense. Really, when you align all of those code bases, I think some developers, when they're looking at analyzing cross-platform tools, just having everything in one language that you can share, add a new feature here and there. And actually, what's interesting is when I always look at my shared code, I always forget about all those plugins that did all the hard work for me.
Yeah.
And
for
like, if you look at some of the plugins, like this code that I've written, it's like, well, all that code, like, you no longer have to write, and it's all become shared code, and all those nice NuGets do so much for you.
Well, and the thing, we went along the way, and we were actually finding bugs in our other code, which basically didn't surface. Mm. And then we were like, oh, wait, this is maybe not exactly what was intended at the time. And we'd fix it, and then suddenly our UWP app just got a bug fix.
Oh, got it.
And so even early on in the development, we were getting benefits to an app that we were, you know, pulling stuff away from piece by piece, but we still were releasing, and we're like, well, we're going out with a better version of our app while barely working on it.
Yeah. Nice.
It was like, we're just maintaining it, but now we're merging everything back in, and we're just going to, all three are going to get the benefit of everything.
And because the UWP was most focused on desktop, we could get by some code that was not very performant, but like, now that we're optimizing for mobile, the UWP and desktop just get for free.
Got it.
And that was one of the challenges with going from kind of desktop and, you know, Xbox for me at some point to the phones, and you realize, well, they're not a desktop computer, and seeing, well, memory becomes an issue and stuff like that. So that was definitely one of the, oh, we have to go figure this out kind of moments.
Yeah, each operating system has its own little tweaks, and especially on Android, lower-end devices, all that stuff. So where can people get it? I know it's in beta today. Right? What does that mean? Are you guys getting feedback? What does that look like?
Yeah, so we're taking feedback. So we are on Google Play. If you search for our app, we'll send out a link, I think, as well.
Yeah, but the show notes, yep.
But you can just go to our MSN News and go to the bottom, and there's a beta tester link. And for iOS, we have to kind of sign you up
to a test flight, and then you're going to get you get an email from Apple basically saying, here, go install
go
test flight.
And that will be in the same link as the one that will be in the notes.
Yeah. Nice. So you guys have a page, page that people will go to, so you can see what it's going to look like. Boom.
Yeah, so basically, like, on the MSN, the link would be like AKMS, but like basically from an MSN side, you choose iOS, put your Apple ID, you're going to get Android, just go to the Google Store and get it.
Easy peasy. Mm-hmm. Couldn't be easier. Yeah. So that's awesome. So it's in beta today. You can get your hands on it, give feedback. It's beautiful. I've been using it, and I'm an Android user, so I love that it's, you know, really native, really performant is my big thing, because it is so image heavy, so I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we really appreciate you having us. It's fun to come on here and talk about what we do.
So, yeah. Thanks for showing it off. I love seeing it. Go download the MSN News app today. Give them your feedback so they can even make it even better for that initial release. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Cool. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. This has been another episode of The Xamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno. Don't forget to subscribe. Hit that bell over there, down there. You know what to do. Get those emails and notifications for every new episode. So until next time, thanks for watching.